is Symphony No. 5, performed by the Berlin Philharmonic.
Cette pièce de piano peut vous sembler bien banale. À moins que l'on vous dise que c'est Jeanne, encore prof à 81 ans, qui l'a apprise à la petite Chloé lors de ses cours cette semaine. Le Québec est riche de ses aînés. Reconnaissons leur contribution. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Evening and welcome to the March 24th edition of Drama Text. Tonight is our second funding drive show. CKOT is looking to raise $35,000 for its 35th anniversary. The funding drive continues to March 27th. We're up about $18,000, and any amount that you can donate to the station will be greatly appreciated. $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. $500, all of it will be greatly appreciated and help the station continue its work over the next year. Tonight we're going to be listening to a series of new English poets. And as you're listening, think about giving us a call. The number to call is 514-907-9424. That number again, 514-907-9424. 9424, or visit us online at ckut.ca and find the Donate Now tab. Okay, let's listen to a little poetry.
I'm a deep sea diver, always close to water. Even in landlocked bliss, anticipating maritime slaughter. Wherever I go, I'm prepared. An oxygen tank on my back. A lot of weight to lug around, though, just in case of an attack. Whispering my mantra, please don't drown. Please don't drown. Please don't drown. Please don't drown. I'm a deep sea diver. With salt water invading my senses, my feet feel the security of dry land while the waves atrophy my defenses. The brain degrades to muck, I can't see more than an hour ahead. So I strap on my trusty snorkel and dive back into bed. Whispering my mantra, please don't drown, please don't drown, please don't drown, please don't drown. I'm a deep sea diver. I can spend weeks in my iron lung, with no company but detachment and my crucified tongue. Indifferent to promoted emotions, life with the contrast faded out. Sepia tinged, no memories, the exact color of doubt. Whispering my mantra, please don't drown, please don't drown, please don't drown, please don't drown. I'm a deep sea diver. I'm a deep sea cunt, I'm a deep sea fuck, I'm a deep sea failure, I'm a deep sea nothing, I'm a deep sea nothing, I'm a deep sea nothing, I'm a deep sea nothing. With a tank of purified nihilism, immersed in an ocean of solipsism, I limply embrace the endless abyss, sink meekly between the gaping schism. I'm a deep sea diver, ambient pressure begins to build. 790 pounds per square inch, the most man's ever felt, and still went unfulfilled. I'm a deep sea diver, crushed alive by seas of renown. After a lifetime of keeping my head above water, I think this time I'm going to drown.
go safe. Be glad with them Aldi bags weighted with everything you own, loaded in fingertips as you Google your dad's name to find out you have no but an hand-poked feather into skin. Heavy is the chair that ain't supposed to be lifted above your head, eyes and ears pressed to the glass, crossed mesh wires that could, will cut you up forever when your fist tells us to open that fucking door. We can't, but we clean the bath and try make it nice for you, don't get in. Your social worker can't answer right now, so it's a big kick-off, we mean crisis, crying, crushed. You hide budgies in Easter egg boxes, a crow in your wardrobe, a friend on your shoulder, a secret in the bus stop, a cig at the bus stop, at the bus stop. Fake babies, faces and favours, and a pram on a doorstep, and a Range Rover at the curb. Tinted windows and a cracked out smile, £5 for the barbers and a bite on your neck. Broken blackberries and bent pocket money, twos off staff, young lass, go safe. Double-decker bus eyes look into your bedrooms, but nobody knows you are here. Go safe. We say at the ends of shifts, where night times drift into locked fridges, doors and unlocked nightmares. And half an hour longer and one last cig, and who's on tonight? And your bedroom light is kept on till morning. Cause the darkness knows you well. It brought you up, didn't it, when you had no one? You sat on its knee, tucked your toes underneath, whispered in its ear before you'd sleep, waiting for it to catch the tears from your cheeks. Can I just say, you know you lot, yeah, you are not weak. How can you be, when your own spirit has been mum, has been dad and has taught you how to be? So your bedroom light is still on, but the teachers are scared of you. You are a blazing light, a raging fight, crazy right? You can't put the extinguisher down because you've been fighting fires all your life. So we prize it from your fingers and bleeding knuckles and try listen and guess what you might need. Wipe tears away with heavy sleeves, dare you to breathe, dare you to breathe. I dare you to breathe. Go see. Your whole life is lived on breadlines, last crust and crumbs of houses, no gardens, just sheds and shells of an home. Bagged up estate playgrounds is all you've ever known. Two striped trainers, no socks, playing out in Big Brother's bobble tracksuit tops with nobody calling you in. Go safe. You'll come back when you're ready, when it's time to cool down on lino floors, watch washing machines like tellies and listen to your mum get battered before carving your name into bunk bed frames. And lines into your eyebrows and cuts into your skin. Bitten nails, sore thumbs, scabby elbow, homegrown DIY haircut, hand-me-down kits. The lamppost lights your bedroom, fills your head, but you feel empty as you wait for the bad time stories, of which there have been plenty. We help you pack your bags, but you're the only one who can carry them. Now you are forced to make your own space, keep your sense safe. Do you feel ready for the world? Do you feel enough? Did the caravan holidays make you feel loved? Do you know that love is the antidote to tough, not the opposite? So you can be both, and you are. Go safe.
We're the snow globe in summer. We're the sand globe in winter. At night, the temperature drops. I curl round him to keep him warm. He's like a corpse. There's no response. It's cluttered in here. This cerebral dome. This unwanted gift from his trip abroad. The turn of the night and day of the glass globe. A glass tent, standard Hermes issue. They give them to soldiers like soldiers throwing sweets to kids. At night, the temperature drops. like nowhere else in the world. Afghanistan, like nowhere else in the world. He sleeps with his boots on and shakes like a feral dog. Call it doll's house, call it fish tank, call it home sweet home. It's cluttered in here with broken things. A limb has bent at the elbow, punched a light socket in the front room. The crack in the plastic is the shape of lightning. When a mine shaft collapses, it leaves the same shape in the earth as a punch in a chipboard door. The baby gate thrown down the stairs, the golf clubs wrapped round trees, the window put through. Glass to glass, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. His throat's so dry, he has to drink with all the... A man can have a drink in his own house, can't he? Isn't that what we were fighting for? And there's a bit of him under my fingernails, and I'm washing my hands, and Bolton comes over. He can see that I'm struggling. He brings this big bottle of water and pours. I can't open the door in case the nightmares fly out. I can't open the door in case someone hears him. I can't open the door in case the sand pours out and it makes a roadblock and no one can get to work and people sink in it and go under. I can't open the door because of all the blood. We're sort of safe in this glass house. Just watching. Our faces pressed against the glass as you and you and you walk past. We're the snow globe in summer. We're the sand globe in winter. We're the snow globe in summer. We're the sand globe in this indeterminable winter.
I claim to know this country, stretch my vowels across its contours and detonate my consonants on its illicit missteps. King among the little Brits, I know this place of pubs, I say. I know this place. Let me recite for you and tell you how we're cast adrift from Europe, mad upon the seas we claim to rule. Sat around the port we shiver, red coats threadbare at the elbows, pith helmets abrim with butts and sick. The sun is up again, and we've just three strings on our violin, split ends springing from the bow. We're coming down, drifting down the corridors, clutching faded photo books. But listen now, our song's still beautiful. Pray silence for our drunk thumbs. This is Britain, and I'm in sync with all of it. Oh, I can tell it like it is. Last week, I drove from Sheffield to Deal, 5 hours without a stop save, pissing in a lay-by outside Luton. My mind a swim in caffeine pop. I didn't use a map. Oh, no, I know this place, I thought. I know this place. But what do I know? I know the motorways. I know the lay-bys and the bypasses. I lay by, I bypass. There's life behind those conifers that I will not observe. I spit this width and split. I pinch myself to stay awake. 2 empty car seats in the back. Some days I just see skeletons. In a motor, they can't hear you when you scream. So why not scream? I live the life a wide-eyed child chose for me. Perhaps you do as well. Rickety old sleeper trains. We trundle on, we miss the points. So here I am. A different strip of tarmac each night. 100 miles from home, watching seagulls swoop like stunt kites on a coast that's not my own. I try my best to make some sense of that. I tally up the good days with the bad. I keep my fires smouldering. I shovel on the poems and the admin, the triumphs of my children. I roll my terrors round my palm like bowding balls. The way the house feels after 9 p.m. The Christmas morning lion. The gigabytes of smiles I dare not open. Because I know what happy is. A carload full of friends on a festival weekend. A phone call every night. Drifting off our fingertips in touch. Tearing to the long grass with my boys. Or standing waist deep in September sea. Gasping with the cold. Loose, lacerated lungs and a belly full of love. That time I tumbled from a train in Taunton. Hungover and hilarious. It must have been June. It really must. The sky was huge and blue. I just adored it. So as it swallowed me, I swallowed it right back. And down the hatch went all of England with it. It knocked me to my knees, thinking, yes, I'm here, I'm here. I never thought I would be, but I'm here. Oh, I claim to know this country. But all I can do is make it in my image. Squeeze it into skinny jeans, file its teeth, distill its spleen, take pot shots at its pompousness for sports. I love and loathe it like I love and loathe myself. And yes, I know it because I know myself. I know myself.
Just 22 miles. That's all it is. The sunlight bounces off the cliffs, and because they're taller, they look closer from France. I listen to the waves lapping over breakfast. I'd have a croissant and a coffee, but I feel sick. I'm sure if you've traversed through continents and oceans, you're going to look across and think, I could swim that. The seagulls float gracefully in ravenous packs, and my head's a fucking shed from all the parallels and chasms. David Williams, 10 hours 34, Sport Relief. Eurostar, 1 hour, 29 quid. P&O Ferries, 90 minutes, 40 quid. Channel Tunnel, 35 minutes, 49 quid. A smuggler's dinghy, in the dead of night, up to 13,500. Yesterday afternoon, I was sat playing cards with Ethiopians and Eritreans. The breeze picked up, so they invited me inside, into the home. And no word of a lie, right? No word of a lie. There was a Bradford City sleeping bag. For those of you doing an internal shrug, there are 22 miles between my house and their stadium. It's the same between Leeds and York, between Newcastle and Hartlepool, Manchester and Blackburn, Birmingham and Leamington Spa, Northampton and Milton Keynes, Oxford and Reading, Bristol and Newport, Exeter and Torquay, Southend and Romford, Portsmouth and Bognor Regis, Calais and Dover. They ask me with wide eyes if Bradford are a decent team. I haven't got the heart to tell the truth. I want to ask them all how they got here, how long it took and how they managed, but that kind of thing is either volunteered or locked away. They offer me a cigarette and I smoke it just to socialise. I give them some euros to buy some beers and I'm Father Christmas. There are people who've walked across deserts, whose drivers were shot in the chest, whose dinghies were sinking and floated ashore, whose bodies were subjected to unspeakable acts. They burp with the beer and cheer with the cards. For a while it feels normal. The universal language of betting and banter, brotherhood forged in the belly of a beast, flags and our playful affiliation. The lad sat beside me, taps me on my knee, so I lean in and lend him my ear. He asks me, very softly, if I can justify why my country is leaving them here. His question somehow silences the room. Playing cards strip suddenly of worth. He's not asking me as a journalist or a lawyer. Just a fellow human being on this earth. I feel sick again, with shards of sunlight piercing through the roof. They ask me, if likely, to be welcomed in by law. And I haven't got the heart to tell the truth.
Our fathers and their fathers flow through us. We carry their likeness in our bodies, lullabies, and lost stories. All estuary and flood, water and blood, these are our family trees. These waterways are the ancestral cartographers who help plot a path into new pastures. We listen as they speak, knowing that the meek shall inherit the work of old rivers, shepherding water from the well to open sea through a splintering network of language. Legacy is a rudderless rowboat wrestling time and everything it took to uncover the ghosts that crowd our gullets, fruit from forgotten seeds. Our throats are thick with the silent letters that make our names. And we sound every syllable of inheritance with gusto, knowing nobody stuttered who didn't drown in this profession, navigating the blotted banks of allegory for the spectators, mispronouncing the current, trying to learn our hymns and tides. We are the sons who threw all the ugly into our limbs to tread water, fighting the current to fit into forgotten words. Pretty doesn't fit too well in these floods. There is a word for paddling through flood water I never had the chance to learn.
Next poem is in four pieces. And the title of this piece is I Want to Be Your Wife.
And it's nothing to do with what's actually going on in my real life. I have a very, very beautiful partner and it's all very happy, so I don't want you to think I'm going to murder him.
At the end of the day, I want to be your wife. I want to wear a cream satin nightie, sit at my vanity table, rubbing my hands vigorously with hand cream. I will moisturize my hands and my forearms and elbows and listen as you tell me a thing which is very important. You put down the New York Times, take off your glasses to tell me this important thing. And I will look into the mirror at my reflection and over at you as you lay on top of the bed in your vest and shorts and socks, whilst contemplating this very, very important thing. I will pull a paddle brush through my hair. It will be very lovely hair and very easy to brush. And it will be brushed and brushed and brushed and brushed. And it's then I will pause and say into the mirror, you know what you've got to do. You've got to kill your boss. Number two. In the morning, I want to be your wife. I will pour fresh orange juice into sparkling glasses from a glass jug, placed in the centre of the laid breakfast table, laden with bowls of berries and stacks of pancakes, which I got up early to prepare. I rinse a cup in the kitchen sink and glance out of the window with the neighbour's ginger cat. I mumble, "Dear mangy cat, crapping everywhere. Dear mangy cat, crapping everywhere. You mangy crapping little shitty cat." And then I turn to you and ask about our lake house. "It's been a while," I say. You nod and tell me you will think about it. You won't have time for breakfast, but you pour yourself a coffee from the pot. It's good coffee, expensive coffee. You slurp it quick, quick, as you have to leave and kiss my cheek super quick, quick, because you have to go, because you're a very big, important man. Very busy man. You might take a bite of toast. I hear it crunch. Your jaw clicks. The muted television, the news. A body has washed up on the beach. Number three. I want to be your wife, your wife, your wife, yours. I want to be your wife at home doing laundry. Let me. When we talk on the phone, I will always talk to you whilst holding a full laundry basket on my head. The phone sits in the crook of my neck. I do not put the laundry basket down. This is part of the good wife thing I will do. I will be a really good wife, but particularly great at laundry basket phone calls. I will talk of ordinary things, wifey things, a man came to fix a thing. Don't forget the dinner thing, honey thing. The neighbor's cat is missing. I tell you, I saw the neighbour staple leaflets to lampposts. We laugh a little. Mangy crappy cat. Mangy crappy cat. Number four. At the end of the day, I want to be your wife. I want to be your wife at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I want to be your wife. Come on. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, I want to be your wife. That's it. I want to be your wife. At the end of the day. I want to be your wife. I'm outside the local supermarket. I want to be your wife. I carry groceries. I want to be your wife. I wait to cross the busy road. I want to be your wife. Something's off. A grapefruit rolls the curb. A dog runs into the traffic. Your boss's body has been identified, bloated, washed up on the beach. Wisteria is really beautiful this year. Have you noticed? Lovely. Really good year for the roses. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I want to be your wife. I want to be your wife. The neighbour's cat has been found hanging in my apple tree. It's fine. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, everything is fine. At the end of the day, I want to be your wife. At the end of the day. At the end of the day. At the end of the. At the end of the. At the end of the. At the end of the wife, I want to be your day.
Under the pier, I'll meet you here on Saturday lunchtimes in technicolours and rainbows. There were four of us that day. Walking along Bottle Alley, I'd touch shards of saffron-coloured glass pressed into the bleached concrete, and I'd wonder what comes in yellow bottles. Kerry balanced along the ledge like a gymnast on a beam, her wild gold hair trapped in the corners of her mouth. Claire wore thick mascara in turquoise and royal blue. Her eyelashes were insects, blue bottles and beetles' legs. Becky was tall and gangly. We talked about suicide. and we believed 1987 was going to be just like 1967, as we swigged from the Thunderbird's red, 50 pence more expensive than the blue, but we were all sick of Scrumpy, hey? The four of us sheltered there from the rain, and the boys and our parents. It was our secret place, that nook and ledge. With our backs against the sea wall, our voices drowned out by the crashing of waves, a wash of froth and brine, an echo of footsteps across the soft rotting wood of the boardwalk above us. There were gaps between the planks, prisms of watery light, brown broken pipes emptied in slurps of sewage, lightning flashed between the rusty barnacled legs of the dear old Lady Pier, and the magic mushrooms made the sea all blood and ink. We shared 10 B&H, bubblegum lip gloss smeared and slipped off the tip and the lip of the bottle, and we sang Purple Rain, memorised the words like a prayer. It never meant to cause you. We swore to be best friends forever, that our children would play together, one for all and all for one, forever and ever. And as the storm died, the rain stopped, and God was a solitary shaft of sunlight hitting the sea with a silver path to the horizon. Under the pier, I'll meet you here.
Around. Just say what you want to say.
I wanted you to hear this from me before someone else got into your ear. Isabel is having a baby, and I am the father.
An episode of Neighbours and 3 Minute Noodles. Then you pack the bag, t-shirt, wraps, put on big coat, and go. Through the park with the lights off, benches filled with cautionary tales, over the fence, middle of the estate, before the door opens, you hear the echo of a blow, followed by the twinkle of a chain, and from the sound alone I know, Jetmere is the first to train. Second floor of a town hall, Gold's Club on Thursdays, the wraps, gum shields and first aid kit share cupboard space with DVDs of Honey, Save the Last Dance and The Nighty Professor too. £2 in the tin and no one's counting. 6 p.m. feels like morning. Give Jetmere a nod and plug the clock in. Jetmere once beat an England prospect so thoroughly the rival Jim tried to get him deported. The floor is in a constant state of slight wobble, as if one tile is missing. You feel a slide when feet twist down. The wall space is filled with laminated back pages from local papers of boys done good, sharing their hall of fame with Ringside Magazine pull-out posters, world champions rubbing shoulders with hometown heroes, Lennox Lewis, MGM Grand, Sean Mahoney, Kentish Town Irish Centre. The back of the rope brushes against my Achilles. Wait till the clock hits zero. Warm up till thoughts and movement become one. The gym fills with bodies. Marlon, Alfie, Taylor, Jamal, Patrick, Simon, Fappa, TJ, Georgie. Rope skip in unison. Bags swing and boom. Combinations on pads rattle like firecrackers. Look in the mirror, hold my stance. Keep the elbow in and join the jab. Work on shifting weight on the move. Put advice in practice till the body retains. Push weight down, feel the energy rise up. Twist the foot, turn the hip, launch the punch. Turn the hip, every move builds an incremental distance. Hold the stance and press an elbow in. Outside of boxing, look in the mirror. See, all of my passion for life evaporates under the heat of existence, under the weight of expectation. Here, under these conditions, with this structure, I can build. The condensation fills the gym. Spar with my friends, making me strong by exposing vulnerability. Shots to the belly, knees go, laughter, dad's moved out, mum's working late, This is my home today. Sparring partners as siblings, trainers as parents, shouting combos and whispering plaudits. The sounds wind down. 2.5 hours of everything I've got, and at the same time, filled up. I change my t-shirt, big coat on. While walking down the stairs, I hear the chain twinkled in time to the sound of the blow. Jet Mir's back on the bag, and on hearing that, I know. While the gym is my home, for Jet Mir, boxing is life.
The Channel is a graveyard. The Mediterranean is a cemetery. The beaches are barbed wire, the sandcastles are detention centres, the living are almost the dead, but the dead are merely tragedies. Tragedy. A death that occurs untimely, unannounced, accidental, no cause, no perpetrator, no one to be held account. Our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased, every time a baby's body is found. This is the slogan of an island of sirens. That make shipwrecks out of refugees, make refugees out of names they decided are too difficult to pronounce, decide it's too difficult to name the consequence of the legacy of their actions, making myth out of the past, paperwork out of people. Our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased, is the slogan of an island of sirens that has sung deceptive songs for centuries. Britannia ruled the waves, sung into a seashell that does nothing but roll the noise back and forth, round and round. Rule the waves, rule the waves, rule the waves, waves that choke, waves that bury, waves that submerge, boats that upturn, boats that flood bodies, bodies that flood shores. Our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased. The Channel is a graveyard. The Mediterranean is a cemetery. The beaches are barbed wire, the sandcastles are detention centres, and Britain is an island of sirens. Singing centuries of songs that taunt from behind the ocean spray, a folklore of superiority, never mentioning that the travellers were tyrants, the sailors were soldiers, the merchants were miners, the administration was a racket of wealth now limited to only those inside its shores, out of reach of the children of the ghostly hands that made it. Our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased. According to some sources, sirens were also cannibals, atop islands surrounded by carcasses of their own consumption, corpses with the last drop of life squeezed out in order to pump into theirs, a circulatory system of extraction from the compost heap of history. They salivate at the stench, truly a tragedy they implore. It must stop. Our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased. While the beaches are made into barbed wire, whilst the whole people are made into empty shells, sandcastles are turned into privately owned prisons, piranha-like frenzied feeding off the catchings in their nets. If the waves do not claim you for the ocean crypt, the corporate fortress will. The barricade on every street, in every workplace, on every housing contract will. This island is both tomb and tomb raider, sucking every last bit from the bones, then throwing them over its gate-kept shoulders on chartered flights, in chains and fetters, and through secret letters. But our prayers and thoughts are with the deceased. The Channel is a graveyard. The Mediterranean is a cemetery. The beaches are barbed wire. The sandcastles are detention centres. The living are almost the dead. But the dead are not merely tragedies. For there are no tragedies under tyranny, and there is nothing natural about this island. Because even as deep as a trench has been dug into the sand, it can still be washed away. And even as tight as the barbed wire is coiled into the ground, it can still be uprooted. Even a life jacket filled with lead cannot take you to the ocean floor if somebody on the land holds onto your hand. The dreams of the dead are not drowned when they are, and a multitude of people holding hands is its own type of sea, that surely, when on an island of sirens who sing their own praises from atop a pile of carcasses, have the power to sink it to the ocean floor.
Thank you. You ever hung at the waist from an unwashed window? Got wind drunk, spring blossom tipsy, tongue out to taste the flavor of air this still? Lately, I've been vibing with Wagtails. They've got the lolloping hydraulics of Snoop Dogg's car in the Still Dre video. There's a goofy magpie that flirts with me on lucky cloud-strewn mornings. He acts like he owns the sky. They all do. Do they feel free without the thick exhaust of human chatter, our prep crumbs and post-club potato shrapnel? Our ghost towns are their playgrounds. Play on, Mr. Wagtail. Play on. The pavement owes me nothing. The flowers, the ponds, the wasps with revenge in their asses owe me nothing. Their beauty a gift, my presence a glimmering happenstance.
Have you ever eaten crisps at a funeral? Crunching brazenly as the vicar starts a speech Skyped into your living room. There is no need to wear black, now nobody can see you sobbing loudly as a choir that is not allowed to sing. The world outside my window owes me absolutely nothing, but it sang for me that day. Two pigeons on the gate kissed, goldfinch feasted on the hollyberry, starlings chatted in the air, blue tits tapping in the trees, wiping salt from soggy cheeks in time with every tear.
Have you ever hung all your hopes out like washing on the line, and then watch the sky darken with rain? There's no need to wear black, but you do, and it hides nothing and holds your weather inside. In the dead of night, you catch yourself falling. The next morning, you rise and sing, I owe you everything. The best of me, at least we owe each other that. Dawn chorus, first light. The blackbird call is loudest of all. A million feet march to beating drums. You hold a book like a map. The writer reminds you we've been here before. And there is another road. Follow the river of tears and of survival and of endurance and of love and courage. The clouds will pass and all your hopes are birds with songs that are true and free.
In Notler, we smoke smack for pain, twide the guilt and blame and shame of unemployment. We play guitars and gaze at stars to feel warm and safe and happy. We're grungers and flower children. 90s mop-haired lovers and swaggers who pile into transit vans and blag it into Glastonbury. Our art is beautiful. It's Hendrix and Pixies and 60s psychedelia, and Cecilia is breaking our hearts, man. She's breaking our hearts. Oasis hats, tinnies and flares, Britpop blasts and blares through Warwick Estate on Carnival Day. We win goldfish and then we eat them for days. Actor in front at Mare Ponty, arkid this and arkid that. Our nasal tones right suited, man. My mate Roachy were mad for it, man. He showed me this trick with his fist in pissing down rain in park. We held invisible umbrellas over his heads and stayed out till dark, dry as my nana's scones, mate. You were this ballerina boy in a hat. on a mission to Brough Woods, with a guitar on your back, with weed and beer and stories and smack. An all-timing world to do mad stuff like that. Thought we'd be here forever, weightless and old, burning rocks instead of coal, burning for his father's and his grandfather's souls. But muckers don't stay muckers when sun's gone down. When honeymoon is over and you're rattling Fort Brown and you'd rob your mother's wedding ring and flog it uptown. Cause nothing is sacred when sun's gone down. When you're gagging for a bag and your nose is on drip and you'd take your mum's last tenner for a quick and easy fix. Cause no matters now, mucker, no matters now. That night, you walked home from your dad's. You didn't make it past railway tracks. Were you acting stupid? Did you lay down to look at stars and fall asleep? Or did you weep and wait for death to take you? Mate, I wish that I'd been with you, because I'd have held my fist above you and kept you dry.
So you've been listening to CQT 90.3 on the FM dial. This is Dromotext. We're here once every Thursday for an hour of the spoken word. Tonight's our Funny Drive show. So if you enjoyed listening to that medley of new English poetry, you can give us a call at 514-907-9424, 514-907-9424, or of course, visit us online at cqt.ca. Find the Donate Now tab. CQT's funding drive this year is looking to raise $35,000, and we're up about $18,000. So any amount can help. $5, $10, $50, $100 will help CQT continue its extraordinary programming over the next year. So, as you listen to the next little bit of poetry, think about giving us a call, 514-907-9424.
Cloud Nine. He's really not a bad sort, but when I'm in the lowest and darkest of pits, he always phones. In the most cheerful voice, he'll ask, "How you doing, buddy?" And I'll always have the same answer for him. "I'm fucked, can't find my way out." "Oh, that's too bad. I'm on cloud nine. Need somebody to drink with?" "No, it's all right." "Oh, remember my number, buddy. Give me a call sometime." "Sure." I hang up and look at the phone. It's light green. If I can ever figure when that son of a bitch comes down off his speed, I'll dump him straight into his coffin. I live in a neighborhood of murder. Even the roaches spit out paper clips. And the helicopter circles and circles, smelling for blood. Searchlights leering down into our bathrooms. And our two-lit cake under the mattress. Five guys in this court have pistols. Another a machete. We're all murderers and alcoholics. But there are worse in the hotel across the street. They sit in the green and white doorway, banal and depraved, waiting to be institutionalized. Here we each have a small green plant on our porches, and when we fight with our women at 3 a.m., we still speak in low voices, and outside of each of our porches is a small dish of food that is always eaten by morning, we presume by the cats. I live in the whorehouse district of Los Angeles, which is right off of Hollywood Boulevard and Western. An action spot. Two horse collars. "I'm hot now," he said, and lined a single to center. Next up, he tripled, then drew a walk. Fourth at bat, he homered. Fifth at bat, he doubled. "I'm hot now," he said, then sang in the shower. When he got to his place, his woman wasn't there. He went to the dresser drawer and got what he needed, went over to Mike's and broke the door down. They were in bed together. At the last moment, he got the truth of it, changed his mind, put the gun into his mouth, and pulled the trigger. Next day, they had a rookie up from Memphis in his spot. The kid went 0-for-4, suckered on the changeup and the low and inside. But he was good with the women, and that's more important than any .364.
We survey the Colorado Plateau. There are no degrees of reality in this handsome and singular mass, or in the extravagant geometry of its cliffs and pinnacles. This is all water carved, the body thrust into the hydrosphere, and where the green mesas give way to the Vulcan floor, not far from Farmington and other interferences with the perfect night, and the glittering trail of the silent Via Láctea, there is a civil scar so cosmetic one can't see it. A superimposition drawn up like the ultimate property of the ego, an invisible claim to a scratchy indultum from which smoke pours forth. But now, over the endless sagey brush, the moon makes her silvery bid, and in the cool, dry air of the night, the wind wankles across the cattle grid. All right, now I'll read a little scene from the cafe Sahagun in downtown Cortez, Colorado. Our party assembles from out of the thin air. I comes through the door, twirling his psychonosis in his fingers, and throws it at effective intervals into the air like a Texas cheerleader. And when he drops it behind his back, which is quite often, according to the formula, he turns around to pick it up with a dainty bending of his knees and an expression of, "Oh, that doesn't matter," on his vibrant lips as he hums, "Just for today, I will not be afraid, and I will enjoy murdering now that I can perform all by myself an act of oblivion." "What do you want for breakfast?" the manager shouted. "Give me a drum roll and a cymbal crash," I glared through the propeller of his baton. "He should have stayed in Greece," everything muttered. "He's coked out to his ears and he's spewing with chewing gum." "Hello, everything. Thought you'd never get here." "Hi there, Lil. Did you all keep me in mind? Oh, look, I wish I had some of those things everything's eating." "That's a dish of Etzalcalitzli," Lil said, extending her hand. "Corn and beans." "Fascinating," I said, taking it. "Everything you got produce all over your lapel. Say, what's that other bowl of matter stationed before you like a Hollywood award?" "Crawfish pie," everything shuddered. "Crawfish pie is frozen for certain in Cortez, everything," I nodded. "So that should get you right for Apache time." "Oh, is this Apache time?" everything doubted. "No, it's sublime time," I screamed. "Los cajeros yeni menguante nueva divine. Ay, 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 ay," I sang in motion for the check. "That's where I fell in love when stars above came out to play." The slinger was standing in the sun by the stage, his cheek reflecting the fairness of a winter spent in Bisbee, when the mayor's wife, a formidable lady wearing a string of pearls and a baby blue cardigan, came along the buckled boardwalk. He stepped smartly up to her and said, "Howdy, ma'am," and presented a large bouquet, red roses expertly rendered in solid lead. And as she felt their great weight in her arms, a smile of regret raced across her superbly fastidious and disapproving lips as she sank slowly through the boards, out of sight.
This is the age of investigation, and every citizen must investigate. For the pallid tracks of guilt and death, slight as they are, suffuse upon the retentive electromagnetic data retrieval systems of our era. And let the investigators not back away one microunit from their investigations. For the fascist hurlings of gore await in the darkness to rise up this year to shoot away the product of the ballot box. And if full millions do not investigate, we will see the age of gore. And the criminals of the right will rise up drooling with shellfish toxin to send their berserker blitz of mod Manchurian malefactors mumbling with motorized Beowulfian to chop up candidates in the name of some businessman's moan of national security. And this is the age of investigative poetry, when verse froth again will assume its prior role as a vehicle for the description of history. And this will be a golden era for the public performance of poetry, when the Diogenes Liberation Squadron of strolling troubadours and muckrakers will roam through the citadels of America to sing opposition to the military hitmen who think the United States is some sort of corpse farm. And this is the age of left-wing epics with happy endings, and this is the age of garbage. And we're not here talking about garbage, self-garbage, but an era of robotic querulousness. And how, at the onset of a time when the power of the country's up for grabs, the garbage hurlers, attired in robes of military industrial silk, arise to hurl, as swift in their machinations as a chorus in the Ice Capades. And none of us will trudge this era without a smirch face waft of thrilly offal dumped upon our brows of social zeal, and the pus-sucked provocateurs armed with orbiting plates of dog vomit will leap at us while we stand chanting our clue-ridden dactyls of know the new facts early, know the new facts early, know the new facts early, and do not back away one micro unit just because some CIA weirdo morph whose control agents never ended World War II invade your life with a mouthful of curdled exudate from the head of the Confederate Intelligence Agency. And this is the age of nuclear disarmament, when the free roam roamers of the hills join hands with the nesters of the valley wild to put an end to nuke puke with a zero waiver total trans world peace walk. And never again will the patriarchs ship nodules of plutonium on the railroads of explosions. And this is the age of the triumph of beatnik messages of social foment coded into the clatter of the mass media over 20 years ago. Oh, how we fall down to salute with peals of that the beats created change without a drop of blood. In 1965, it was all we could do to force cajole the writers for Time magazine not to reinforce the spurious anslinger synapse that pot puff leads to the poppy fields. But now the states are setting hemp free. 10 years of coded foment. Yesterday, the freeing of verse. Today, pot. Tomorrow, free food in the supermarket. And finally, let us never forget that this is the age of ha-ha-hee. Ha-ha-he is such a valuable tool. Ha-ha-he will set you free from worm farm angst. Ha-ha-he will even curdle the fires of jealousy. Ha-ha-he outvotes the warrior caste. Ha-ha-he doth whelm the self-devouring quarrel. Ha-ha-he peels out through all the cosmos, mandorled with poet angels, holding Plato's seven single syllables in a tighter harmony than the early Beach Boys. This is the poet's era, and we shall all walk crinkle-toed upon the smooth, cold thrill of Botticelli's shell. Happy New Year.
So that concludes this week's edition of Grey Matters. We heard a selection of poems, Sylvia Plath, Ed Sanders, Charles Bukowski, from the Dial a Poem series, Totally Corrupt. Today's the last day of our funding drive. Please consider giving us a call and donating to CKUT. We're looking for $35,000, not at all one go, but if you can afford 20, 40.
En cas de symptômes s'apparentant à ceux de la COVID-19, comme la toux, la fièvre, le mal de gorge, la perte du goût ou de l'odorat, vous devez passer un test rapide de dépistage à domicile. Si le résultat est positif, isolez-vous à la maison et respectez les consignes d'isolement. Si vous n'avez pas de test rapide, isolez-vous selon la durée prévue. Consultez québec.ca/isolement pour connaître toutes les consignes. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
I, Brother Clifford Dalphy, I donate $100 to support my favorite radio show for the annual funding drive. I encourage all the listeners, promoter, community members to donate. CKUT forever and CKUT till infinity.
Infinity.
Perfect. Ha,
.3 to infinity. CKUT is launching our 2022 funding drive, and we need your donations to keep chilling on the airwaves. Our community has been through it the past few years. Funding drive is the time to celebrate and raise funds